to show you a character in the Bible tonight. We're working our way through the characters of the Old Testament. We've made our way all the way now into the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. And I want you to look with me in 2 Samuel. And we'll read tonight in chapter number 19. 2 Samuel, chapter number 19. And we're going to meet and talk tonight about this man, Mephibosheth. We're going to start by reading the last passage of Scripture that he's ever mentioned in, and I want to bring this message to you on the life and the man Mephibosheth. But we're going to read the conclusion, the last thing that is said of him as we begin our message tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 19, if you look with me in God's Word, verse number 24. 2 Samuel 19, verse number 24, the Bible says, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes." Sounds like he was in a COVID-19 situation, right? "He came down to meet the king, had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, 'Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord, the king. But my lord, the king, is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?' And the king said unto him, 'Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land.' And Mephibosheth said unto the king, 'Yea, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house.'" And we read this passage of Scripture. It's an exchange between Mephibosheth and David, the last recording that we have of any conversation with David and Mephibosheth. But if we're going to understand this man Mephibosheth, we're going to have to start and figure out where he started. And tonight we'll just begin with three simple points. Number one is Mephibosheth. Number two is what David did for Mephibosheth. And number three, what Mephibosheth did for David. And we're going to look at these things tonight and ask God to bless his word. Let's look tonight at Mephibosheth. First of all, we're going to meet Mephibosheth early in life. Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan and the son of Saul. Basically, all that simply means is that he was the son of Jonathan and the grandson of Saul. Now, if you're Mephibosheth, and Saul has given David a terribly difficult time, and David is now the king, Saul and Jonathan are dead, it's a rough time to be of the line and heritage of the enemy. Unless the man that is next in line to be the king is David himself, a man after God's own heart. When Jonathan and Saul are slain, die in battle, then there's a little lady taking care of a little boy, Jonathan's son. His name was Mephibosheth. At 5 years old, look with me in 2 Samuel chapter number 4. At 5 years old, Jonathan and Saul are dead. And here's what happens. The Bible says, Jonathan, Saul's son, verse 4 of 2 Samuel 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And there we meet Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth has some problems. The first problem that you can understand and and see and be aware of is the fact that Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan and Saul. Now, Saul had been nasty. For years and years, Saul had just been awful. Saul had made many attempts at David's life. And finally, Saul's life ends in tragedy. And being the son and grandson of the family of the former king, the enemies, Mephibosheth had a difficult time. No doubt stories had been told to Mephibosheth that of how dangerous it was for him to show his face around Israel and Jerusalem. But Mephibosheth was the son of the enemy. When I think about Mephibosheth, I'm reminded of myself. You know that I am a member of Adam's fallen race, and so are you. We're all sinners. Our sin pits us against God. I can so identify with Mephibosheth. Not only was Mephibosheth the son of the enemy, but Mephibosheth was lame on both of his feet. In the text that we just read in 2 Samuel chapter 4, we see that Mephibosheth was lame on both of his feet. Again, if you turn a few pages in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 9, we see some more things about Mephibosheth. This whole chapter really is dedicated to his story. As this chapter comes to a conclusion, the Bible gives a description of Mephibosheth and says in verse 13, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet." The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 9, David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Over and over again, the Bible gives us this picture and paints this picture of the condition of Mephibosheth. At this time, to have a physical handicap was a great, awful thing. If you were a man that was not able to provide for yourself, you had great problems. And so Mephibosheth's problems lined up. First of all, he's the son of the enemy. He reminds me of myself, of Adam's fallen race, a sinner. He was lame on both of his feet. What good was Mephibosheth? You see, you can understand that maybe if there was a man out of the house of Jonathan, out of the house of Saul, who had some extra amazing ability as a man to lead or to help or to build, that he could do something good for the king. He could help King David out, but not Mephibosheth. As a matter of fact, in just a little while, Mephibosheth is trying to get to David when Absalom has dethroned him. And Mephibosheth doesn't even have the physical ability to saddle a horse and make his way to Jerusalem to meet David. Mephibosheth's pitiful. Now, Mephibosheth also, in this sense, reminds me of myself. Reminds me of people in general. You see, folks, if you just want to get real serious and honest about it, we don't have a whole lot to offer, especially when you think about what we have to offer in light of what God is. What do I have that I can give God? What do I have that I can give God that He absolutely, positively has to have? He doesn't need me. He wants me. Mephibosheth, he was lame on both of his feet. Not only that, but he was also exiled. He was exiled to a place called Lodabar. The Bible says in verse number 4, "The king said unto him, Where is he?" Speaking to Ziba, the servant that would soon be Mephibosheth's servant. He says, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Verse 5, "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar." Where was he? He was in Lodabar. He was separated from God's people. He was separated from God's presence. He was separated from his king. That's Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth had a pitiful existence. You see, from the time that Mephibosheth was born until the time he was five. He was of the royal line. He was the son of the prince of Israel. But at five, things really changed drastically. He fell and was lame at both of his feet, exiled to a foreign land. Mephibosheth. Old Mephibosheth. He was a lame man. But Mephibosheth doesn't stay in a state of despair, because it brings us to our second point. What did David do for Mephibosheth? What did David do for Mephibosheth? It's so beautiful. David's sitting as king of Israel now, thinking. He says, I'd like to show my kindness to someone of the house of Saul. So that's the spirit of God's people. The spirit of God's people. Someone that had done David, they were so dirty. Someone who'd done David so wrong. And David says, you know what I want to do? I want to let it known that in my heart, I've forgiven Saul. I want to let it known that I have no bitter spirit. I want to somehow relieve the burden of someone out of the house of Saul. He asked this man Ziba, do you know somebody? Ziba says, yes, I know a lame boy, Jonathan's son, who lives in Lodabar. And David says, go get him. Go get him. Bring him out of Lodabar and bring him to my house. The Bible says in verse number 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. I can't imagine what was going on in Mephibosheth's mind at this moment. Mephibosheth was the son of the enemy, remember? He was lame and useless in so many ways. And now he's been called into the presence of the king. Was the king angry? Was the king going to get revenge on one of the last living relatives of Jonathan and Saul? Absolutely not. What does the king do? The Bible says in verse number 7, David said unto him, fear not. I will surely show thee kindness. What did David do for Mephibosheth? David brought him back to Israel. David settled his fears. David showed him kindness. By the way, if you have a chance to settle someone's fear, do it. I watch people on occasion who enjoy doing things that cause other people fear. I want you to know something, that's not the spirit of Christ. If you have a word that you can say that might settle someone's fear, instead of holding it over their head, holding that little bit of power, give them the word of kindness. That's what David did. He showed them the love of Christ. He settled their fears. He showed him kindness. What else did he do? The Bible says, I will surely show thee kindness, verse 7, for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. What did he say I'm going to do to you? He says, I'm going to restore to you the land of your father. What did David do for Mephibosheth? He restored his heritage and inheritance. That's fascinating to me. There's such a likeness in this passage of Scripture. Mephibosheth over and over and over again represents us sinners, people, lame and in need. And David so readily represents our loving God. He settles our fears. He brings us back into fellowship in spite of the fact that we are sons of the enemy. He brings us back into His presence and shows us kindness. He secures our future. He invokes His blessing on us. Oh, I'm so thankful that I have a loving God. Do I deserve everlasting life? No. Do I get everlasting life? Yes. Because God has promised to give me that great inheritance. Oh, I feel so much like Mephibosheth. And I feel so thankful for a God that's promised to give us everlasting life. I'm thankful for a God that in spite of our shortcomings and failures and our sinfulness, loves us anyway. I'm thankful for a God who sends us His Word to settle our fears. Sends us the sunshine and the rain to show us His kindness. Meets our needs. Settles our hearts. to put our trust in Him. What a mighty God we serve. You see, what David did for Mephibosheth is a beautiful picture of what God does for His children. Here's something that's repeated. I like it. Not only did David say, here, you can have your inheritance. He says, but there's something I want you to know, Mephibosheth. There's something I want you to do. Something I want you to do consistently. This is the way I want to bless you. The Bible says, verse number 7, David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. What do you want to do? Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Look what the Bible says again in verse number 10. The Bible says in verse number 10, it says, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Verse number 11, then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servants, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And look at what the Bible says in verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. What did David do for Mephibosheth? He gave him a place to live. He gave him a giant spread of land. He gave him a servant and a house full of servant and a house full of servants, people to take care of his possessions. He gave him a means of income. He gave him everything that he could possibly need to take care of himself. But David said to Mephibosheth, here's something I want you to know. I want you at my table. I want you to eat my food. I want you to fellowship with me. I want you to be close to me. And so David took Mephibosheth in, loved him, cared for him, irregardless to his lameness and his heritage. David took him in and loved him. Oh, I'm so thankful for what David did for Mephibosheth. And folks, I'm so thankful for what God did for Cody. I'm so thankful for what God did for Cody. Do I deserve God's blessing? Absolutely not. Do I have them? Absolutely yes. God has been so good to me. He's so faithful to me. And I know that He gives me the opportunity, even daily, to fellowship with Him and eat at His table. I have the opportunity every day of my life to be in the presence of my loving Savior and God. Oh, I'm so thankful for what God has done in my heart. I'm thankful for the day I got saved when I was just a child. I realized I was a sinner. Nothing's ever been more clear than the fact that I was a sinner and that Jesus Christ had paid the price for my sins. And as a child, I humbly prayed and asked Jesus to forgive my sins and be my Savior. I got born again. I got changed forever. If you're saved out there, would you say amen? Isn't it wonderful? We're just like Mephibosheth. And our great God, our David, our Savior, has called us and He's saved us. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. Not only am I saved, but God has met my needs all along the way. He's proven Himself faithful. Every time I've depended on Jesus, I found Him there and faithful, and I've rested secure in Him. Oh, God has been so good to me. Take just a minute and think, what has God done for you? We're talking about what did David do for Mephibosheth, but I want you to ask this, what has God done for me? A humble, honest heart. We'll give glory to God because He's faithful. And if you're out there right now and you think, I don't know what God's done for me, you may need to be saved. Oh, I'd love to take my Bible and show you how you can be saved. You can call me. You can write me. I'd love to have that meeting with you. We can talk about what Jesus has done for you and how much He loves you and what God wants to do for you. Oh, what did David do for Mephibosheth? David loved and cared for Mephibosheth and offered him a spot right at his table. Number 3, as we conclude, what Mephibosheth did for David. You see, David did this for Mephibosheth. Now, what did Mephibosheth do for David? Now, the next time we meet up with Mephibosheth in the Scriptures, we're working our way through, you don't have to even turn here, but it's in 2 Samuel chapter 16. The first four verses of 2 Samuel chapter 16 gives an account. Now, Mephibosheth, when he comes into the king's presence, there's another character there. His name is Ziba. Now, Ziba was one of Saul's servants, and now he's one of David's servants. And so when David's sitting pondering, who in the world is left of Saul's house that I can show my kindness to? He says, I know somebody that might know. Ziba would probably know. Ziba worked for Saul, and let's just find out. So David sends for Ziba. He says, Ziba, come see me. And he says, Ziba, who can I show my kindness to? Ziba says, well, there's a guy in Lodabar. His name's Mephibosheth. He's lame on both his feet. David says, go get him. Ziba goes, gets Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth comes back. David looks at Mephibosheth and says, Mephibosheth, I'm going to restore to you all your land. I want you eating at my table. And then David looks at Ziba and he says, Ziba, you, from this point forward, work for Mephibosheth. I want you to take yourself and all of your children, all of your servants, and the land that I've given Mephibosheth, you're responsible for it. You take care of it, and you take care of Mephibosheth. You got me, boy? Yes, sir. And so now Ziba is the servant of Mephibosheth. Now, the story of David continues. Mephibosheth is doing his thing. Mephibosheth has his land back. Can you imagine? You are a lame man living in a borrowed home, and now you've been restored to fellowship. You're eating every day at the king's table. Things are going good for Mephibosheth. But like all of us, you can't have honey without bees. Now, Mephibosheth is doing great. Everything's going well. But Absalom, David's son, rebels against David, runs David off of the throne. And in that time of turmoil, when things are very difficult for David, David goes and hides in the wilderness of Judah. David hides in the cave of Adullam. David's heartbroken over his son Absalom. During that time, Ziba leaves Mephibosheth behind. Ziba tells Mephibosheth, I'll get you a horse saddled up, and you go with me. We'll greet David. David and his 600 men were there, and David was uncertain. He's heartbroken because a lot of people had rebelled against him, and especially Absalom. And so Ziba goes and leaves Mephibosheth. He doesn't take Mephibosheth. He says, all right, Mephibosheth, I'll meet you at the stables in 15 minutes. In 10 minutes, Ziba is on his horse, and he's taken off, and he's got this a bunch of gifts and food and blessing from the house of Mephibosheth that he gives to David. And Ziba, in chapter number 16, tells a nasty lie and gives the idea to David that Mephibosheth has become allegiant with Absalom. It's like a knife in the heart of David. Then we come to chapter number 19. We'll read that together, verse 24. Absalom is slain. David has just come back to Jerusalem. He has just regained his place on the throne of Israel. And the Bible says in verse 24, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And so we have this exchange. The Bible teaches us that Mephibosheth comes and meets David. Now, the Bible gives us some very detailed descriptions of what Mephibosheth looked like. You could just imagine. Now, for however long David and Absalom's issue went on, the Bible says that Mephibosheth came to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet. I don't know if that meant he hadn't put shoes on or washed his feet or whatever. He hadn't taken care of his feet, nor trimmed his beard. So he's got filthy, dirty, nasty feet. His beard is hanging down below his waist. I don't know if it's that long or not, but he's got this long, scraggly beard. He's got the same clothes on that he was wearing when he got word that Absalom, that low-down scoundrel, would run David off the throne. He's wearing the exact same thing that he wore the day that the king departed. And now David has come back to town. And Mephibosheth is so excited, he can't stand it. He goes in his nasty attire and greets the king. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? The Bible would give us these details. There's a conversation that goes on between David. David says, "What about Ziba? Well, tell me, I didn't understand. Tell me." Mephibosheth, "Hey, look, David. Ziba deceived me, deceived you and me. He said he was going to get me an ass saddled up, and I was going to ride with him to meet you, but he left me. And I couldn't do anything. I'm lame on my feet." He said, "But I want you to know something. The whole time you've been gone, I've been greatly anticipating your return." He says, I didn't shave. I didn't change my clothes. I didn't wash my feet. He said, "I wanted people to see that I was concerned about your departure. I want to let people know whose side I was on." David says, "You know, Mephibosheth, I gave Ziba all the land I gave you. What do you think about that?" Mephibosheth says, "Let him take it all. For as much as my lord the king has come home again in peace into his own house." He says, "I don't care about the land. I just want you to know that I care about you." What did Mephibosheth do? Well, I think it's best described by a little old story. There was this, I read the story this evening, of a little southern lady. The Civil War had been fought and won by the Union. And the little lady sat on her front porch. And as the Union soldiers were making their march back home, she sat on the front porch, the little old lady, waving her Confederate flag. One of the soldiers scowled at her and said, "What are you doing? What can you do with that flag?" And she waved her flag and she said, "I can just tell everybody what side I'm on. I can just let everybody know what side I'm on." I want you to know something. David did a great work for Mephibosheth. Do you know what Mephibosheth did for David? David said, "When you was out in that wilderness and you couldn't shave your face, I said, I'm going to identify with you because I ain't shaving mine either. When you was out in that wilderness and you couldn't wash your feet, I didn't wash mine either. When you was out there fighting the battles and running from Absalom, and you couldn't change your clothes, I didn't change mine either." He said, "I couldn't do much, but I just wanted everybody to know whose side I was on. I don't care about the land. I don't care about anything but the fact that you're home, my king, David." What'd he do? He just said, "Hey, here's what side I'm on." Folks, I want you to know something. I identify with Mephibosheth in that I'm lame, a sinner, in great need. I identify with what David did for Mephibosheth because God saved my soul. And you know what I can do for God? I can just wave the banner of truth and faith. And I want to let people know whose side I'm on. I want to stand up for Christ. I want to be counted. I don't want to be sheepish and quiet. And I want to honor God with the truth of His Word. I want to please Him. I want to just wave my flag and say, "Here, this is the side I'm on. I'm on the side of the King. I'm on God's side. I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm living for Him." As I think about Mephibosheth, I guess the thing that convicted me the most was the tendency that I have sometimes to sheepishly keep my peace about what God means to me. But I want to be like Mephibosheth. I want to identify with Him, even if it's not popular. I want to identify with Him, even if it could potentially cause discomfort. I want to identify with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was willing to identify with me. He loves me, and He loves you. He loved Mephibosheth. And what a great example that God has given us in this man.